Lord. Aren't you glad that Jesus lifted you? Amen. When I was down and out, when I was in an unsaved condition, the Lord loved me enough to reach down in the miry pits of clay and lift me up, place me on a solid rock, a solid foundation, and only not only that, but establish my goings. So good to see each and every one of you this morning. We know that we have lots of folks who are sick this morning, lots of people who are just not able to attend church this morning. We're going to remember them in prayer. And at the close of the service, after the sermon, we're going to ask anyone who is sick or knows of someone who is sick or has a family member to gather around the altar. And we're just going to pray and ask God to heal and touch and anoint those who stand in need of prayer this morning, not only of our congregation, but many friends and people that we work with and know they are struggling as well. But now let's just stand and just invite the presence of the Lord into this service this morning. We're so thankful for those of you that were able to gather here this morning. And let's just get our mind right on the Lord. Amen. And let the Spirit of the Lord lead us and guide us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your amazing grace. Father, thank you for this day and this opportunity and the desire that you've given us to gather here this morning. Father, we pray the anointing of your Holy Spirit. God, just reach down this morning. God, open up the window of heaven. Pour out an anointing spirit upon each and every one. Help us to be in one mind and one accord, submissive and obedient, God, to your word and to your will. Father, I pray, God, that every part of this service would be touched. We do ask you to reach out to those who are suffering and struggling today with sickness, affliction, whatever the situation. Father, we know that you're greater than any problem, and we pray right now by faith, believing that you'll reach out and touch them. Now just have your will and way in this service, and we'll be careful to give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. God bless you. While you're standing, let's do a church hymnal this morning. Let's do Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Makes everything all right. And imagine now if Just a Little Talk with Jesus makes everything all right. Imagine what a long talk with Jesus would be. Amen. Come on, Brother Keith, and help us out on the guitar if you would this morning.
Lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love, and it wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will answer by and by. We need to hear a prayer.
What an honor, what a privilege it is to be able to go to the Lord about anything, anytime, and anywhere. God is always there, attentive, amen, and not only willing to hear, but willing to touch and anoint whatever the situation is. We might go ahead and receive our Sunday morning offering this morning. So if we'd have an usher or two to come forward, and we'll just ask the Lord to bless this as He always does. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord's blessing upon this offering this morning?
Sing, your cries have awoken the Master. Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but He was asleep in the stern. Does He not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called Him, said to them, "Where is your faith? Because you begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know try to be patient, 'cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it all must cease. Because you prayed all night, 'cause you've held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
Susan, you have a number for us this morning? I feel like singing for us. Praise God.
I hadn't planned on it, but instant in season and out of season, that's it. But I do want to praise the Lord for another year. He has protected our family so much and done so much for us, and I know he's done a lot for all of y'all, or you wouldn't be here. I just praise him for protecting us every day. And I'm gonna sing one of my favorites, Jesus Use Me. I want to be a good witness. I know we're all witnesses. I want to be a good, great witness for Jesus.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. Calvary.
Amen. Powerful song. Do we really mean that? Lord, use me. Whatever capacity, whatever fits into your perfect plan, Lord, use me. If you want me to go, I'll go. If you want me to speak, I'll speak. Whatever your desire is in my heart. And truly, that should be each and every one of our desires, to be pleasing unto the Lord. And so many times in doing that, we can't please ourselves. We can't please man, that's for certain. And sometimes we can't even please our wife. But most of the time, we need to understand that we need to please Jesus. Amen. I want to sing a song this morning entitled, I'll Be All Right As Soon As I Touch Calvary. I'm not sure who wrote this song, but I know the Crabb family does it and others do it as well. But evidently the author of this song had some burdens. And it seemed that maybe these burdens were too bad to bear, too hard, too heavy. And just reading between the lines, maybe he had tried any and everything, or her, whoever wrote it, to maybe ease the pain of the burden or the lightness of the load. But he only found one thing that would work, and that's when he touched Calvary. Amen. And I know that we physically can't go to the hill of Golgotha. I know we can't go to where Jesus carried the cross up that hill on that fateful day. But thank God, because of the price that Jesus paid and because of the mission that he was able to perform and complete, spiritually, we can go to the Calvary. We can go to the blood of Jesus Christ. And I find myself there needing to go more and more, even though we're filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and even though we say we're trusting and faithful to the Lord, I still find myself having to go to the Lord at Calvary. I'll be all right as soon as I touch Calvary. Praise the Lord.
Don't worry about this heavy load I carry. Don't be concerned if it sends me to my knees. For I know a place where all my load will lighten. I'll be all right. Touch Calvary. If my people and the faith could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, and if he'll slip his nail-scarred hand into my hand, touch Calvary. How many's been there? Can you say amen? Calvary. Very soon now, I'll reach the hill Golgotha. I'll touch the cross that was fashioned from a tree. And
precious drop of His blood touches me, I'll be all right now that I've touched Calvary. If my feeble hands of faith could only reach out through the dark, dreary storm of unbelief, if He'll slip His nail-scarred hand into my hand, I'll be all right soon as I touch Calvary. Thank God for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you this morning. It is so good to be in church this morning. So good to feel the presence of Almighty God. Amen. I know that things are not well with a lot of folks right now. I know a lot of folks are struggling with sickness, affliction, depression. Fear seems to be at an all-time high. But you know what? I find that when seemingly, God understands, and that's when He can touch and make everything all right. We appreciate you being here with us this morning. We invite all of those who are viewing by live stream this morning. We invite you to worship and pray with us this morning, and especially those who are sick, we reach out to you in prayer. Again, after the sermon, immediately after the sermon, as we generally have an altar call, going to open the altar for each and every one who may be struggling, who may be sick, who may have a friend, a family member, or a loved one who is sick, and we're going to come and we're going to get in touch with the Lord on behalf of this sickness and whatever it is that's spreading in this time of year. And I know God's stronger than anything. I know God's mightier. If I got any believers in the house this morning to know that God is amazing to do all things, amen, exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever ask or think. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go with us to the book of Psalm, the 51st Psalm, a Psalm of David. And I want to share that with you this morning that the Lord has laid upon my heart. I do desire your prayers this morning. I know that we're few in number, but we serve a mighty God, amen. And the Bible tells me that as if we're two or three are gathered together, that He would in fact be in our midst. David's writing in the 51st Psalm. Thank you for standing. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for the confession of a man known as a man after your own heart. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Father, we all have erred. We all have sinned. And Father, we need your mercy. Father, I pray now, God, that you would just use this vessel, anoint these lips of clay. God, let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning, that you would have us to hear, that we might not only be hearers only, but doers as well of your word. Father, I pray for all who are viewing this morning. I pray for those who are struggling and sick and afflicted at home, God, that you would not only heal their bodies, but strengthen them and encourage them. Father, we pray right now that your Holy Spirit would come down in this sanctuary, God, and pour out of your anointing. We ask this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. The 51st Psalm is a very common psalm, a very popular psalm among many. Certainly, if we have been serving the Lord for a number of years, and if we are, in fact, a believer, we can identify with the writings of David. There's probably not a one of us today that can stand and say, my slate was clean from the time I was born until the time that I'm living now. Because we are flesh, and flesh is subject to failure. But David, immediately after realizing that he had sinned against God, began to be very remorseful. It's one thing to be sorry for your sins, but it's another thing to repent of those sins, to repent of those transgressions and get those iniquities under the blood of Jesus Christ. David realized that. And this morning I want to bring a message entitled, A Time of Renewing. Time of Renewing. I read something from a very popular minister who wrote this. He said, spiritual renewal is only possible in the life of a believer. Now let that sink in for just a moment. In other words, what he is saying, the only person who can actually have spiritual renewer is someone, a renewal is someone who is introduced to the Spirit, a believer, and one that is born again. If in fact you have never been born again, if in fact you have never been introduced to Jesus, you've never opened up your heart's door, you're probably not going to be able to be renewed spiritually because you haven't been filled spiritually. So I believe David's writings here is a very strong message to the church, to the believer, to you and I. Probably not a person under the sound of my voice has never not had a struggle. Has never not had an issue, has never not felt like that God had left you and you were on your own. And it's not that the spirit needs renewing, it is that the flesh needs to be renewed. How many knows the spirit that is within you is strong, it's mighty, it's gracious, it's wonderful, it's powerful, powerful enough to see us through this life and take us to glory. But housing that spirit is a very weak body of flesh, subject to the life of carnality, subject to the desires of this world. Doesn't mean we're bad people, it just means we're human people. Had we been perfect in every way, Jesus would never have had to come to the cross of Calvary. Never would he had to have shed his precious blood, because we would have all been good enough, if you think that's possible. The law certainly bared that out, that we're not good enough, that we did need the mercy of Jesus Christ. So how can a man who is known as a man after God's own heart, who was pleasing to God from his very youth up until his adulthood now, and was blessed by God, and many things that God allowed David to be blessed with went from generation to generation. There was blessings that followed the lineage of David. Can you say the house of Jesse? Amen. And the root of Jesse and the birth of Jesus Christ. But in David's goodness, in David's devotion, in David's passion of serving God, something enticed him to take his eyes spiritually off of God. Now, that's a common phrase that we use, and that doesn't just mean that we blinked our eyes. or that we cast our eyes in a different direction momentarily. How many would agree with me that many times you have been driving down the road and you will, in fact, while you're driving, some under, some over the speed limit, will direct your eyesight not in the direction that you're going, but either to the right or to the left, but you don't allow it to stay. You quickly realize that that's very dangerous, and you quickly look and you again direct and focus your attention on the way that you're headed. If, in fact, you become preoccupied while you're driving and you allow your vision to wander off, or you allow your eyes to close and sleep, or God forbid you answer your cell phone and try to text somebody while you're driving, then your attention span is not on the direction, it's on something else. And I will assure you, if you start to veer off the road, you will immediately try to correct it. This is, in fact, what has happened to David. David has not lost his love for God. God has not left his love for David. David has just momentarily taken his eyes off of God and allowed the flesh to dictate to the spirit rather than being led by the spirit. And before we become very judgmental of David, let us realize how many times we ourselves have lost focus, maybe just for a short time. Doesn't mean we're backslidden. Doesn't mean that God has given up on us. It just means that other things have infiltrated our desire and worship of the Lord. I don't know about you. I don't know what you promised God at the altar. But speaking from myself, I promised God that I would follow him. I promised God that I would be led by his spirit. Lord, if you'll just save me, if you'll just wash me, if you'll thoroughly purge me from my sin and from my iniquity, God, if you'll just allow me to lay my head on my pillow and sleep tonight and know that if anything happens, that I have a reward in heaven, God, I will do anything for you. And God didn't ask me to make any of those promises. But I committed myself that night, and I thoroughly meant it from my heart. And the Holy Ghost came into me and filled me with that precious spirit that I love and I need so greatly in my life. Can't tell you I have fulfilled every promise. I'm human. But God pointed out to me that he knows I'm human, and he knows you're human. And in our humanity, sometimes we fail God. Sometimes we stray a little. But there can be, and there should be, and there needs to be a time of renewing, church, a time of renewing, saint of God, a time of renewing, pastor, a time of renewing, Sunday school teacher, to again focus on what God's will is in our life and not necessarily about what our will is. So, David, as a man, a strong man, physically, had to be, mentally for sure, courage, he lacked none, became very weak, and was enticed of the world, and succumbed to the enticement. And we find David now, after the Lord has dealt with him. Do you remember growing up as a child and mom or dad was about to correct and punish you? Do we still do that in today's society? I'm not sure. If not, we probably should return to it. But they would say something like this: this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And as an adolescent, he said, there ain't no way. You're on the giving end, I'm on the receiving end. Now, how's that going to hurt you? Until you became a parent, and then you had to deal out chastisement and punishment
for the child that you loved. Can't help but think that God, being the supreme parent type that he is, can't feel a little sadness and hurt when he has to chastise us. But it is for our own good. Just as he is the good shepherd. And being a good shepherd means sometimes you have to do things to those sheep that they don't like. In fact, especially if they keep wandering off all the time. Such drastic measures as even breaking their legs to cause them to stay in the fold. But David realized, and I've often said this, if anybody in the Bible knew how to repent, it was David. And I'm not saying that was because it was programmed. That was because it came from his heart. As I read this, I feel within my spirit that David was truly sorrowful. He was truly in remorse. He was truly of a broken and contrite spirit as he began to petition God for God's forgiveness. He confessed his sin. He confessed his iniquity. He didn't hide it. He didn't try to blame somebody else. He said, it's me, my fault. I did it. But God, I'm depending on your forgiveness and your mercy, your tender mercies. Because David realized that he was a man. And as a man or woman, we become weak. We become tired. We sometimes become consumed with other things, therefore allowing us to be unattentive to the voice of God. Oh, I remember when I first received the Spirit of the Lord, how attentive I was in church and how I listened and how every word that the preacher preached, or the pastor, which was my granddaddy at the time, I just fixed on that word, and I fixed on that promise, and I fixed on that message, and I wanted to apply it to my life. I knew I was born again. I knew I was saved, but I wanted to be a better Christian. I wanted to be a stronger Christian. I wanted to be an adult Christian. Amen. I wanted to be able to be one of the prayer warriors. I wanted to be faithful, and I remember how attentive I was, and how listening I was, and how hungry I was from the Word of God. And you know, as a human, as a person, sometimes we get to a point where we're not as hungry or as attentive maybe as we should be. And I know that denotes maturity in our Christian walk with the Lord, but it also tells me that maybe there's a need we need to get back to where it was when we first started for the Lord. And how that we need to renew that freshness, renew that spirit, renew that love, renew that mercy, renew that thankfulness. Do you remember how thankful you were when you asked Jesus in and he came in? You remember how blessed you was and how everything seemed good and all, and then over a period of time, David and all that God had done for him and all that God had used him realized that he needed renewing. And the many things that he asked for, David realized his sin. He prayed for mercy and forgiveness. But understand, after God's forgiveness, what should our next action be? It saddens me to say and confess that many, after receiving the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God, let me just dwell just a minute on the tender mercy of God. You wrong somebody and you go to them and ask them for their forgiveness, and in their humbleness and humility, they forgive you, and they try to be as tender and merciful as they possibly can, but it can in no way compare to the mercy and the tenderness of Almighty God. You see, a lot of people, after they've asked forgiveness, they think that other person still holds that little bit of animosity toward them. In many cases, that may be true, but that's not true with God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful that when you go to God in true repentance, when you go to God with a true broken and contrite spirit, you ask for his tender mercy and his care, amen? And God will, in fact, give you that mercy. He will forgive you, and he won't hold it against you. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace. And David went before the Lord, and God forgave him. Now there needs to be a plan of action. We don't return to what God just forgive us from. There is a change of heart. There's a change of focus. There's a renewing of the mission that is set before us to become more dedicated, to become more committed to Christ and His work. And David realized this. Lord, I don't want to be like I was before I came to you. Lord, I want to put that behind me, and I want to focus on the future and what you have in store for me. So he prays. And it's not just a little prayer. The 51st Psalm is a purging process. It is a repentive prayer, adoring the majesty of God and putting flesh down as weak and not able to do anything without the Spirit of God. Reminds me that the Bible says if we exalt ourselves, amen, He will put us abase. But if we humble ourselves, He will in fact exalt us and lift us up. Amen. You have to be humble. You have to realize that you need forgiveness. You have to realize that you need to refocus. You have to realize that there needs to be a renewing in my spiritual walk with the Lord. Regardless of how much you've done for the Lord, regardless of how many years you've been saved, regardless of how many miracles you've seen wrought in your life, there comes a time, I believe, in every Christian's life when we need to sit down and we say, Lord, am I pleasing to you? Because I don't want anything here on this earth to hinder me. We see the signs of the time. You Bible readers know that prophecy is unfolding before our very eyes. It does not take a theologian to understand what is going on in the world today. Things are speedily wrapping up as I see the Bible unfolding. But the Bible says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. If you're born again and you can't allow yourself to look up at the glory of God and look up, amen, to the future that the Lord has laid in store for us, maybe it's time of refocusing. Maybe it's a time of renewing our walk with the Lord. Rededicating. Nothing wrong with praying a repentant prayer, even if you're saved and born again. Thank God. If we have to pray a repentant prayer every day of our life, amen, then so be it, as long as it keeps us focused on serving God and not ourselves. So David's plan of action was, it's got to come from the heart. I know the heart is a pumping organ. But also, if you realize, none of the other bodily functions can produce anything if the heart is not well and pumping. So he uses the very life force of a spiritual walk with God and says, God, it's got to come from my heart. If it's lip service, it won't get you very far. If it's in order to kind of impress somebody, then it's not going to get you very far. But if it comes from the heart, God, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to wipe away and purge everything that is not godly. Lord, I want you to rearrange my priorities. I want to refocus, and I want a time of renewal to know that I have gave my life to you, and in giving my life to you, I want to be sold out and led by your Spirit. Not just when I'm in church, but every day of my life, let me walk with you, dear Lord. And let me be a witness. Or let me allow you to be a witness in my life. So he said, a clean heart. And you know what? I need you to renew my spirit. I need you to renew my spirit. Now you understand, David's life was before the dispensation of grace and the coming and the promise of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean he didn't have a walk with God. He had a wonderful walk with God. He was a believer. But he said, you know what? My spirit has got out of whack. My spirit has got out of focus. And there are certain turrets and knobs on a scope that if they're not set right, even though all of that magnification is there, all you see is blurred vision. You have to tune it in. Sometimes with all the things that are happening around us, we as a Christian need to set those turrets and set those things back in and get that crosshairs focused right so that we can see what God's will is in our life. And I believe that's what David was referring to. And that's what the Lord impressed me this week. To be able to tell the church, to be able to tell the mature Christian, to be able to tell that Christian who has seen and witnessed and been the recipient of great battles won over the years. Don't lose your focus. Don't lose the cross. Don't lose, amen, the objective that every Christian that is born again wants to make, and that is to make heaven my home. To be with the Lord forever and ever. And I want to tell you that it can happen to pastors. I want to tell you that sometimes things become so ordinary that we almost become programmed in our worship and programmed in our church services. And we seemingly direct the service according to what we expect rather than what maybe God would expect. So I'm not preaching anything to you that I don't need to do myself. Maybe it's time I need to zone in and Lord, renew my spirit that is within me. Renew my objective. Renew what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. If I have to see it every day for the rest of my life, let me be thankful for the precious blood that you shed for my sins, that you forgave me, that you saved me, that you filled me, that you hold me in the palm of your hand. Let me never lose focus of that, regardless of the interference that comes around my life, regardless of the tiredness of the body, regardless of the interference that you see that is constantly bombarding a Christian today. Lord, I need a time of renewing. I would venture to say the church needs a time of renewing. Not necessarily this church, but this church needs to be inclusive. If you're a born-again Christian, if you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your body, and everything that is within you, then you can certainly see that now is a time that we say, Lord, renew that spirit that is within me. Renew my desire. Renew that passion. Renew that thankfulness. And renew that repentive and contrite spirit that I had when I first invited you into my life. David goes on to talk about renewing. Words maybe used today would be refreshing, refocusing, reprioritizing. Whatever we call it requires action on our part. God is able and He's willing if we are. And let me ask you this question. Do you desire to be stronger in the Lord? Do you desire to be more connected with His Spirit? Do we in fact desire to be more dedicated, more committed to the work of the Lord? Doesn't mean we got to lay down everything that we do, everything that we're about, everything that we belong. It just means that we have to reprioritize it. And in order to do that, Lord, I need a renewing of your spirit. I need to focus on you and you first, and then everything else will take its proper place in my life. I'm ready for First Pentecostal Church to have a time of renewing. If it takes altar service first, how many's willing to say, I want that renewing? If it takes maybe fasting and praying, how many's willing to say, Father in heaven, Lord, I want that renewing. I want that refreshing. I want that urgency to serve you. It may come to a time when we have to pray a prayer as David prayed. What was the format of his prayer? It starts off with the very first, have mercy. It's not a one of us today that doesn't need the mercy of God. And there's not a one of us today who has not received the mercy of God. Sometimes we think mercy only came when we got saved. No, thank God for his mercy before I got saved. He didn't have to let me live, but he did. Until I made him Lord of my life and invited him into my life. And I think about the mercy since then is great. I'll never be able to adequately thank him for it. But I want to thank him for the mercy of those years I didn't live for him and he allowed me life. You know your breath is on loan? Man, that's what the word says. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of renewing. Aren't you glad we can renew? Man, you know, I was thinking about this, and my generation may be showing a little bit, but I was thinking about a simonizing of the church. I hear a few of you that are my generation laughing because you remember that advertisement. You put simonize on that car, and instantly that thing was shiny, brand new. I mean, it almost blinds you to look at it. Simonized wax was the thing that did it. Amen. Can we think of that in a spiritual context? Lord, instead of simonize me, sanctify me. Sanctify me for thy purpose. Not that I'm anything, but you're everything. But Lord, I want to be dedicated to you like I have never been dedicated in my life before. And folks, if you think you're already committed and dedicated, I will assure you there's still a little room. You can reach up and grab a branch that's just a little bit higher. Doesn't mean you're more saved. It just means you're more committed. And you're more focused on the Lord than we are on desires. Now, David, by the time he got through praying this prayer, I mean, he done got victory. He was praising the Lord. He said, Lord, I'll go and I'll teach the transgressors. And I'll become a witness to them, because if he done it for me, he'll do it for everybody. Amen. How many knows there's not a person alive today, amen, that God is not willing and able to forgive, amen, and save and fill them with the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. No matter their past. So many people think, oh, I'm just too bad. I'm too far. No, you're not. You're a prime candidate, amen, for the mercy of God. David said, I acknowledge my transgression. You know, God didn't say, tell me what you've done, tell me what you've done, tell me what you've done. David said, I freely acknowledge my transgression. And then he says, purge me, wash me, make me hear joy and gladness. Man, there's no reason a saint of God should not be able to hear joy and gladness every day that their eyes open in the morning, regardless of what condition the body's in. Because that spirit ought to be live and well and vibrant and working in your life. Amen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I've had to preach that to myself so many times. Sometimes my flesh don't want to hear it. But that spirit says, oh, wait a minute. You're alive and breathing. Amen. You're filled with the spirit of the Lord. You're on your way to heaven. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Come on and rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Amen. So some mornings I have to refocus. Then David said, restore me and uphold me. Sometimes we do feel like we're kind of falling and slipping. We don't doubt our salvation. We don't doubt our love for God. It's just somehow we've kind of lost our spiritual direction. And this is a time of renewing. Not necessarily because it's a brand new year, but let's bring it to a brand new day. It's a brand new time. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. What are you going to do with it? It's going to be just like last year. Is it going to be just like the years before? Are you going to focus in your heart and your mind? This is the year, amen, that I'm really going to step out by faith. This is really the year that I'm going to be more dedicated and more committed to the Lord. And understand, I say it again, it doesn't make you any more saved. But it'll sure put joy and happiness back in your life. That's what David said. Make me to hear joy. Make me to hear gladness. Restore me and uphold me. And I want to leave you with a scripture from Acts, the 3rd chapter, in the 19th verse. The writer said, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, I'm not going to try to preach a second message, but I want to leave this thought with you. The times of refreshing will never come from material things. The times of refreshing will never come from the leisure and pleasure of the world. The times of refreshing will not necessarily come just because you come and sit in the church house. What does the writer say? The times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Thank the Lord that He lives within me. I thank the Lord that He loved me enough to forgive me. And I'm so thankful for the Lord that He has prepared a place that where He is, I will be also. Church, every one of us, and this is not a beat-em-up service. I hope it's not. I hope you didn't take it that way. It's an encouraging service to let us know that sometimes our priorities have to be rearranged. And let's make sure, amen, that we're renewing our spirit and renewing that walk with God. Would you stand? As I said at the onset of this message, I'm going to open this altar. We don't open this altar up. God opens this altar up. In fact, we don't never close it. I'll assure you, I never close the altar when I lock the doors and leave. This altar is always open. But I'm inviting you, if you know of someone who is sick, if you have worked with someone who's sick, if you have a family member with someone sick, if you know somebody in the congregation that is sick, I want you to just come and line up across the altar here tonight, this evening, as we prepare to pray. And let me just go ahead and say, too, and remind those folks who are viewing, that we will not be having an evening service tonight. This is the time, amen, to get things right. This is the time. If you want to stand in for someone, I want you to stand in, and what we're going to do is a show of unity. We're going to hold hands all the way across, because I don't know if I can get across to everybody and anoint you or not. But you understand, it's not the preacher that gives you victory, and it's not the preacher that gives you healing. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I tell you what, let's do this. And I know that they're not going to pick this up, but if you want to just share as we go down, if you just want to share a name, it's just a first name, someone you want to stand in for. If it's me, it's me. If Kevin needs prayer, Martha, anybody else want to share it? Misty, Kyle, Terry, Jim, sister-in-law, Don, Julie, Linda, Virginia, work, mom and dad, Elaine, my mom, yes, praise God. You know what? We may not remember those names, but God does. You just spoke it. Amen. Now I want you to say, they're going to be healed. 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 That's what God needs is a faith right now. It's not how long a prayer we pray. It's not whether or not I touch you. It's whether or not you believe what you're praying for. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we come at this time, God, we rebuke the sickness that has come upon our church. We rebuke the sickness that has become upon our family. Father, right now is a statement of faith. We're stepping out and we're claiming healing. We're claiming victory right now for every name that's been mentioned this morning, for every need, for every sickness, for every affliction, God. We bring it under the blood right now. Father, we declare your healing in the name of Jesus right now. We lift up our voice. We lift up our hands of praise right now. And we call it done in Jesus' name. And if I got any believers in the house, give him a hand clap of praise this morning for his healing, for his deliverance, for his anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Somebody shout, it is done! It is done! Healing has gone forth. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so very much. Would you just remain standing here for just a moment as we go to the Lord and we thank Him for the miracles that He's just performed. I'm expecting to hear testimonies of where the Lord came in and touched. And with this prayer, you can still hold hands if you want to. We'll go have our closing prayer. Heavenly Father. Sure, amen. All right, for those who are traveling up north to West Virginia for on the mission, the weather is a little bad, so we're going to be praying for their safety as well as we pray this closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the visitation of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for those who've gathered here today. Father, we pray, God, that you would just go with us, protect us, keep us safe. And Father, we just want to thank you for the miracles that you've just performed, for the healing, for the strengthening, for the touching, God, of those saints, those names that were mentioned today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for their healing. I thank you, Lord, for the desire that you've given us to come together this morning. And Father, again, we pray for everyone who is in harm's way, everyone who's been affected by the weather, those communities and towns that have been devastated by the storms. Father, we pray for a recovery. We pray that you would protect them, God, and go with us now and keep us safe. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful day and a very happy new year to all of you. Amen. Praise God. Happy new year. Happy.